In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, this day of the Ascension is a day of very great joy for us. There is nothing in this life that gives so much joy as to see someone who has done good getting the reward that they deserve. This is the day on which our Lord receives the glory that is due to him for his death on the cross, for his great sacrifice for us. At the Last Supper, our Lord prayed to the Father, saying, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, even as you have given him power over all flesh, in order that to all you have given him, he may give everlasting life." Today is the day that our Lord's prayer was answered, and the Father glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, at his resurrection, receives a glorified body, and 40 days later, he ascends into heaven and takes possession of his kingdom, sits at the right hand of the Father. As they say, as Catholics, we are full of joy to see this. We are full of joy because we love our Lord. And so we're really happy that he's being glorified as he deserves. We're full of joy because we know that our Lord goes to prepare a place for us in the glory that he takes possession of. One day, we will also have, we will have a share of his glory one day. And we are also very happy because, quite simply, his triumph is a wonderful thing. It's a very wonderful thing. In the ancient times, the Romans were known for having great triumphal ceremonies when the general, like Julius Caesar, would go and conquer yet another nation and would come back. They would schedule the day, and they would have this immense procession. You would have the people line the streets, and then the spoils would come, all the spoils from the conquered nation, all of their riches and treasures would be paraded that now were possessed by Rome. Then you would have the captives, the people who had been subjugated, who were then going to be the slaves of Rome. And then finally, like the king and the general who had been conquered and who would shortly be executed. And then finally, all of the pomp and circumstance of Rome, the consuls, the great soldiers who had gained the victory, and bringing up the rear, Julius Caesar himself, in a chariot, you know, that was conducted by four horses. And such was the glory, such was the triumph of these processions, that the Romans would have a slave stand behind the general and whisper in his ear, "Memento mori, remember, you're just a man, you're not a god. This is incredible. This is an incredible glory that you're receiving, but still, you're not a god." We don't have really much to compare today to such a thing, except maybe our sports contest. You can maybe think of the Denver Nuggets and when they won the NBA championship in 2023, and on a given day, the people lined the streets in downtown Denver. They put the basketball players in a fire truck, in the top of a fire truck. They drove them slowly down the streets, and they received the adulation and adoration of the masses because their basketball team had won. These triumphs, these earthly triumphs, my dear faithful, are nothing. They are but a pale shadow compared to our Lord's triumph today. And the Church invites us on a regular basis, Our Lady invites us on a regular basis to try to think about the glory of our Lord. What was it like? What was it like for our Lord to enter into his glory? We know the story. We've just heard the story where our Lord gathers his followers for one last time. They go to the Mount of Olives, and he blesses them. He gives them a last blessing. And then by his own power, by the power of his glorified body, he lifts himself up into the sky. And he's taken off to heaven. He himself goes to the gates of heaven. He opens the gates of heaven, which had been shut for thousands of years. And he enters in. There is the whole heavenly court, all of the angels waiting for him, hailing him. And who are behind him? Who does he bring into heaven? He brings with him his spoils, the spoils of his victory, which are all of the souls in the whole history of mankind who believed in him, who were faithful to him. All the souls from Adam and Eve until the time of his death. You can think of Saint Joseph, for instance, or Saint John the Baptist came with him into heaven. And our Lord sits down on his throne chair at the right hand of God Almighty and takes possession, as I say, of his kingship, where he is king of heaven and earth. He rules over heaven and earth to this very day. This is a triumph that is hard for us to imagine. We can think of the song that Scripture speaks about, the singing of a new song. It always refers to the new order brought in by our Lord's death. Even in the Old Testament, when you hear of the new canticle, the new song sung by the heavenly court to their king, to their God. This triumph of our Lord was greater than any triumph we have ever seen here below, because it was more magnificent than anything that happens here on earth. It was something beyond the things of this earth, something supernatural, something divine. And it's not just that the celebration was more magnificent. There's also something else that distinguishes it, that places it above any of the triumphs that exist on this earth. And that is the fact that our Lord's triumph was something definitive, something that was once and for all. We all know that even if you do well in this earth and you get rewarded, for instance, our students are getting rewarded right now for their performance in school. But everything on this earth, no matter how well you do, everything on this earth passes away. All the triumphs of this earth pass away. Julius Caesar was honored for his great military battles and victories over conquering nations. But now the Roman Empire is no more. Denver Nuggets were applauded in 2023 for running the NBA Finals, but they had to surrender their title the next year to another team. All of these things pass away. But when our Lord goes into heaven in triumph and takes possession of his throne, he takes possession of an eternal kingship. He has a victory that will never fade. It is a victory that is forever. Our Lord will live forever. Our Lord will never grow old. He will never get sick. He will never suffer again. He will never lose his kingship. He rules forever. This is something that of its very nature puts his triumph far beyond any triumph on this earth. So as I say, my dear faithful, this great triumph of our Lord today gives us joy because we love and admire our Lord Jesus Christ, because we know how much he deserves these honors, how much he merited these honors. But also because this glory that he possesses today, he promises to give to us. He promises to give us a share in this glory. This is why it's so profitable for our souls to meditate upon the glorious mysteries. It makes us, it enkindles in our heart this desire to possess the glory of our Lord, to be faithful to our Lord. Right now, that's what we're doing. We're trying to imitate our Lord. We're trying to gain our victories right now. We're trying to conquer sin, the devil, the flesh right now. We're trying to live like our Lord lived, because we know that just as he entered into his heavenly glory because of the way that he lived, if we live like him, one day we too will enter into that heavenly glory. And not too far away either. It's not going to be a long time. This life is short. We don't have a long time before we will be with our Lord, God willing, if we are faithful to him. What's going to happen? Well, we know that on the last day, our Lord is going to raise everybody up from the dead. And if we have been faithful to our Lord, if we have lived a life like to our Lord, he will give us a different body. He will give us a glorified body. He will give us a body like his own that will never get sick, will never grow old, will never die again. And by the power of that body that he will give us, the glorified body has the power of itself to go up to heaven. We will, as it were, naturally, with this glorified body, go right to heaven. Whereas those who are not faithful to our Lord, he will also raise them, but their body will be like a corpse. It will be like a rock. It will, as it were, sink by its own self into the depths of hell. These are the two possible outcomes. So, my dear faithful, on this day of our Lord's great triumph, let us rejoice greatly in the glory of our Lord. We must try to think about and figure out what it was like for our Lord to enter into heaven in this great glory. And through these thoughts, strengthen ourselves for the combat of this life, knowing that if we are faithful to him, we are guaranteed that we will share in that same heavenly glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.